Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our speed review. It is the 20th of May and we are on page 31 of your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. So if you have it with you, you might want to open to that page, and we are continuing our two-day article on a book review of The Agility Shift. And yesterday we had quite an interesting discussion about various topics that she brought up in her book about how companies need to be changing and are be ready to change or be ready for unexpected changes. And I called them charming yesterday, and they still are charming today.
Thank you.
I asked my two charming co-hosts to introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert, and I'm glad to be back to talk about this.
And I'm Gordon. I'm also happy to be here and looking forward to getting into a bit more detail about this book.
And I'm Linda. And we are very happy that you're joining us for this article. It's quite an interesting concept. I think that it's something that in this day and age we all need to be prepared to do. And we don't want to sink into complacency. I like that phrase, you know. Sink into complacency just means to go to a place where you have this feeling of satisfaction and you don't want anything to change. But because we're on the second day of our article, let's go back and see what stood out to us as panelists that we were talking about yesterday. Gordon, let's start with you. What did you find that stood out to you yesterday?
I liked how at the beginning the world that we live in today was described, I'm using this acronym, VUCA, or V-U-C-A, which stood for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. They're four long words, and they're there to describe the world that is ever-changing and complex. And we learned yesterday that volatile means it's sudden to change, and change can happen unexpectedly.
Okay, and we also have ambiguity also, which means very unclear.
Yeah, very, very unclear, and there may be choices in different directions for what's the best path to take.
Okay, and what about you, Albert? What stood out to you yesterday?
Well, to just build on what Gordon was talking about, this is important because, you know, it's no easy task for many companies who have been successful doing what they've always been done, and then it's like they've been stuck in the past and operating in their comfort zone. And then when everything around them changes, they're not able to keep up with it. They're not agile, you know. We listed some examples yesterday, and I just want to throw one more out, which is when I was a kid, Sony was the big thing with music. They had Walkman, Discman. It was coveted. Everybody wanted their products, and they just weren't able to change and make good MP3 players. Other companies were able to do it, most notably Apple with their iPods.
You know. Okay. And to me, one of the topics that we brought up yesterday that we're going to be talking about more in depth today is the relational web. And according to our author, Pamela Meyer, she says that agility exists. And agility is actually the title of the book, The Agility Shift, and it's really her whole point of our discussion yesterday. A company has to be agile. So agility exists because of a strong relational web. And so we left yesterday with what is a relational web, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to our reading. If you have your mobile device, please find it. We're on page 31 in our Advanced Studio Classroom, or we're on day 20, and we're going to read this first section in the left-hand column.
According to Meyer, a relational web is much more than another term for social networks. For example, in addition to active relationships with friends, colleagues, and acquaintances, an individual's relational web would include extended and/or inactive relationships, skills, knowledge, and talent, other sources of ideas, knowledge, and expertise, tangible and intangible resources. Tangible and intangible resources can include anything from capital and raw materials to the brand reputation of the organization for which the person works.
So we see that a relational web is more than another term for social networks. Her description might make everybody's mind go to, oh, yeah, that's just a social network site, but really, what is she talking about?
Yeah, we've learned here that a relational web is... It's the fact that in business, everything is related. It's not just the physical stuff that we handle in our office. It's our relationships with our friends and colleagues. So these aren't just social relationships. These are professional relationships. It's all our skills and the knowledge we have. And there are many complicated words here, maybe, for you readers. Tangible, for example, is one of them, which means something is touchable and physical. So... And here we learn that it's the tangible and the intangible that that are related in business, and it all comes together.
Okay.
Right. I mean, just an example of this, you know, someone who works in the business department. Last month we had Rebecca, who works in our business department, and she also came on the radio show, and, you know, she was able to give her perspective to help us out and teach the article. So, you know, someone else in your company, they may specifically have a job title and whatnot, but they could also be used. They probably have good ideas as well, and they should be heard. And they may know someone else outside of the company that may have a connection or whatnot.
Okay, so yeah. We see that we're not just looking at active relationships here, mm-hmm. but we're also looking way beyond, even to acquaintances.
Mm.
And they could be inactive relationships even. Those are part of your relational web. Because really, I mean, actually through social networking, it's amazing you can be in contact with those in active relationships in a matter of seconds.
Right.
Yeah. We learned yesterday that the world is complex and dynamic and volatile. Mm-hmm. And what the author here is doing is alerting to us that our companies are also complicated, and they have the potential to be dynamic because everything is related in a big causal pattern here.
Right.
So she's wanting companies to, I guess, grab that complexity and use it for company's own advantage rather than just being like overwhelmed by it.
Right. And I think, first of all, it's recognizing it. And so she's brought it all together and put it down in black and white so people can actually look at what all is involved in this web. Because it's very easy to lose sight of it. You can lose sight of what your intangible resources. Mm. You know, you can drop one of these off. And it's not part of your web, and then you are missing out on a big part of it. Okay? And what can tangible and intangible resources include? It says anything from what?
Anything from capital and raw materials to brand reputation of an organization. Yeah, these are things that maybe you don't think about on a day-to-day level in your business. Brand reputation is something maybe the marketing department might be concerned with, but you've got to bring that into the whole company.
Right. And it says anything from capital. So capital is the money that you have to use, money or property, and then your raw materials. So this is really taking it all across the board, and all-inclusive. Okay, let's continue on with our reading then. We're going to be looking at... we're going to read the rest of this column, Agile Shift Dynamics, and we'll stop at the bottom of this column.
Agile Shift Dynamics. The interconnections, relationships, and resources of a relational web are not in themselves sufficient to ensure agile leaders, teams, and organizations. Individuals and organizations must also adopt a mindset, strategy, and practices that lead to what Meyer calls the five agility shift dynamics: relevance, responsiveness, resilience, resourcefulness, and reflection. Agile organizations are relevant, which means that they have a clear sense of purpose, a why for everything they do. Relevance, Meyer writes, aligns purpose and values with the success of the organization. The result is a workforce and leadership that is engaged and committed, an important requirement for agility.
So here we're on Agile Shift Dynamics. Actually, what does the subtitle in itself mean? Anybody have any ideas here?
The way things could go.
Okay, so it means that how things even operate within your company have to be changing.
Mm.
Okay, the dynamics of your company, and yesterday we looked at the word dynamic, which just means the forces that produce change inside of a group. Okay, so we have to shift those in order to be more agile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're looking at the interconnections, okay, the relationships and resources of a relational web, and they are not sufficient enough for agile leaders, teams, and organizations. There's a lot more involved than, you know, just saying I want to be an agile company.
Right. I think what it is like you have all these, first of all, recognize that you have these potential resources waiting to be tapped into, but also you have to be able to have the leaders or other people to be able to direct the flow and see where it can go and how to make it within, just have a strategy formed. And she lists five different dynamics.
Okay, so actually you have to adopt these. To me, I like the wording of this. She said individuals and organizations must also adopt a mindset. That means you have to, to me, it means you have to purposely set your mindset. You know, you have to decide we are now going to be open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
We've been okay with the way things have been going, but it's time to change.
Mm.
So you need to stir things up a little bit if your company is becoming complacent. Did anybody else get that?
Yeah, we can see a two-stage process here that we spoke about. First of all, recognizing the relational web that your company has, and now the second stage, signified here by the word adopt, is to take a mindset to change your way of thinking about your company to reflect that you've recognized that web, so you can become more agile as individuals and an organization.
I think it's interesting. This looks like it comes from the top down, because you can adopt a mindset, but you also have to adopt strategy and practices, right? You can't just have the mindset that says, okay, we're going to change. Unless you change other areas, the strategies you're going to take or the practices within your company, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right to say the top down. This book seems to be a book for the owners of businesses and the top managers, rather than maybe a book for individuals within the organization.
I think a person might become very frustrated. You know, if you're full of ideas and you're in a company and nobody's listening to you, or you have no way of having any input, then none of this really matters.
Right. And just to take a step back, when we say top down, we mean from the boss and going down?
Right, from management down. Right.
Okay.
Okay, then we see that Meyer calls, in order for this to happen, they lead to what Meyer calls the five agility shift dynamics. Okay, and that's what the title of this was, Agile Shift Dynamics, okay? And we have five of them. What are they, Gordon?
They are relevance, responsiveness, resilience, resourcefulness, and reflection. And we're now going to look at each one of these five in turn.
Okay. And first we say that they need to be relevant. And relevance actually is one of our vocabulary focus words, and that just means that it has to be related to what's happening around you or what is being talked about. So if something is relevant, then what is it, Albert?
Something, when it's relevant, it's you're able to relate to it either on a personal level or with the society, that what's trending. It's like, oh, this is something that matters or does matter.
Okay, and it says if agile organizations are relevant, which means they have a clear sense of purpose of why they do it, is what you were saying, then it's relevance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what she goes on to describe relevance a little bit further. What does it do? It aligns what, Gordon?
It aligns purpose and values with the success of the organization. So the organization will have a purpose, a goal, a why for why they're there, why they're operating. And if you're like constantly thinking about what you're doing is relevant, you're checking it against your overriding purpose to see, is this something that the company should be doing? Is this something that will help?
Okay. And I like that last word. Is it something worth doing? Is it something that will help? Because we see that if it is relevant, if an organization is relevant, then the leadership and the workforce are committed. and they also are engaged. And if you are engaged, that means that you have a sense of belonging, right? It's yours.
Yeah, that you're motivated to do the work, and you're gonna understand why you're doing it. It's always frustrating if a boss tells you to do something that you think isn't really related to what you should be doing or what the company should be doing, and you're just like, why am I doing this? I'm not gonna be motivated or engaged and do it.
Right. Well, I mean, like, when you take pride in your work, you can produce, like, quality work, and you look forward to contributing, making it better, and just going to work every day.
Right. And so if a company or an organization has a clear sense of purpose, and you know what that purpose is, then you can relate to it more. So it's relevant to your life as well. And this is the first requirement for agility within a company.
Mm.
Okay. Now we're going to go back to our magazine, and we're going to read the entire second column. This is like 30 lines, and this is going to talk about what the other four agility shift dynamics are, and then we're going to talk about them.
Agile organizations are also responsive. They don't react to events out of fear or to protect or defend themselves, but respond to take advantage of new opportunities, writes Meyer. Agile organizations are also resilient, able to regroup, reorganize, and renew in response to a significant disruption, she writes, and resourceful, taking full advantage of resources. Finally, agile organizations are able to reflect on new developments, understanding which are relevant to their organizations and demand a response. An international consultant and professor, Meyer fills her book with case studies and precise how-to steps gathered under Making Shift Happen subheads. Thus, one of the Making Shift Happen practices for resilience is to designate understudies. A former theater director and producer, Meyer draws metaphors and stories from her show business career. To designate understudies means to have redundant vital systems to ensure that the organization is not left short when the unexpected happens. Exploring best practices and the mindset for agility for individuals, teams, and organizations, the Agility Shift offers practical and timely advice for managers and employees dealing with the challenges of the age of VUCA.
So we're looking at agile organizations are also responsive. I thought this was a very good paragraph when she was talking about what responsive means in an agile organization. What did you think, Albert?
Yeah, I really do like it. It reminds people, hey, don't react to events out of fear. Because when you're reacting, you're always on the defense. You're almost playing catch up to a certain situation. You should be proactive, you know. You should act to innovate.
Okay.
Right?
What do you think, Gordon?
I think that's it's definitely a noble goal there to take advantage of new opportunities when the unexpected happens. Obviously, being responsive in this way, as we discussed, it does really require a change of mindset, that you don't just jump back in fear at the first reaction. It may not be something we can always do, but if you like train your company to be agile, then this is something that can happen.
Yeah, don't wait for something to go wrong.
Right. An example of like a possible like reaction would be like, oh, company XYZ came out with this new product that seems to be popular. We must do this and do the same thing. That's reacting out of fear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they also must be resilient. Okay. This is not one of our vocabulary focus words, but I almost feel like it should be. But if you're resilient, what are you, Gordon?
Here we see that you're able to regroup, reorganize, and renew in response to a significant disruption. So resilient just means here that you can resist the negative outcomes of change, that you can continue your way, but also like adapt and change in a positive way rather than negative.
Okay, I like all these prefixes, the regroup, reorganize, and renew. Okay, So it really sounds like you're giving a choice. You're not giving a choice. You're giving a new opportunity to become something else, okay? And this is in response to a significant disruption. And if something is disrupted, it means that something comes in that you're unexpected, right, that changes entirely what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It disturbs what is currently happening.
Right. And resourceful, so that's the fourth re here under resilience, okay?
Yeah, and resourceful is taking full advantage of resources. So we talked about the relational web earlier. A resourceful company will take full advantage of their relational web.
Okay, and if we look back to the earlier paragraph where she's listing the five agility shift dynamics, resourcefulness, which is the noun form of this, is the ability to make decisions and act on your own. That's kind of an interesting definition to me. Because often when we think of resourcefulness, we think of using something else. If you're resourceful, you use something else to accomplish something.
Right, but I guess the idea with Meyer is that she wants the company to be strong on its own, to be able to tap within its own company. If they rely within their own resources, they won't have to like depend or wait on another company's timeline or another business's whims or in their choices and their prices or whatnot.
Right. So you're not just reacting to something, okay? And then we also see that her last point is agile organizations are able to reflect. And what are they reflecting on?
Yeah, this is a bit different from the other four, I think. This is, say, after the event. You don't have to worry about the unexpected happening now. You look back and you reflect on new developments that you may have done, and you're going to understand what are relevant to your organization's overriding purpose, and then see what response is required in the future.
That's quite a strong verb she uses here, and demand a response. Okay, it means that you have to do something about it. You can't just sit back and be complacent. We see everything changing, but we're still okay. Okay, so by reflecting on what has happened, okay, the new developments or the unexpected, then you can see what you need to do, what is relevant to your organization, and then you have to do something about it.
Right, because if you don't, opportunity just keeps on slipping away.
Okay. So those are the five agility shift dynamics. Again, relevance, responsiveness, resilience, resourcefulness, and reflection. And according to Meyer, all five of these should be in play in order to make an organization agile. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we finally come to find out who Meyer is. She's an international consultant and professor. And it's kind of interesting. She used to be a theater director. So she's taken some examples, metaphors, and stories from there and put into her book and into her business. It sounds like this first sentence in this paragraph sounds like that her book is readable, okay, because she uses case studies and precise how-to steps.
Yeah, so a how-to step is, if you imagine, a simple guide of explaining how something is done. You could list a few how-to steps to explain.
Very popular books. How-to books are very, very popular.
Yeah.
Find out how to do anything.
Yeah, for people who may be picking up a new hobby or a skill, and you say how to fix your toilet at home or how to rewire a plug, those kind of how-to books.
Right. And here she has put down, it says here, she has precise, so they're very exact, how-to steps gathered under making shift happen. So this is kind of an interesting title. It means how to change your company, okay? And these are subheadings within her book. So it looks like she goes through, and one of the making shift happen practices for resilience is to designate understudies. This is pretty interesting. So we're looking at one of the five agility shift dynamics, resilience, and one of her suggestions is to designate. And designate just means to officially choose somebody. So the boss is choosing somebody to study with another person.
Yeah,
right.
The understudy metaphor comes from the play theatre world that Mayer originates from. An understudy is often a actor or actress who is learning the same lines as maybe one of the leads in the play, and they're very useful because they can fill in if the actor who should be on the play is absent or falls ill.
Right, and so she says that if you do this, then you have redundant vital systems to ensure that the organization is, if somebody leaves or something happens, and somebody's there to replace them. And it says vital systems, okay? And I like this term, the organization is not left short. So it means you come to a situation, there's nobody to take over, they don't know what's going on. So you need to make sure that somebody knows that job so they can take over.
Right. I mean, it's an unusual practice for businesses to employ two employees for the same position or whatnot, but it's, you know, really nice if they're not around, they can have, decisions can be still be made, even if it's not like if they're leaving, just on a short term even, you know.
Right. So we go back to what we talked about yesterday, VUCA, okay, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And her book that she's introducing, The Agility Shift, is talking about how to deal with this in this age of VUCA. Well, we hope that maybe we have stirred your interest, that you want to pick up the book and read it. It certainly sounds interesting and challenging, bring about, help people that are in challenging circumstances in this day and age. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you again on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.